Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is another episode of Insider Interviews about the inside scoop on the people who are making media, marketing, and advertising a little bit better. The guy that I'm talking to today is someone that I first interviewed about 3.5 years ago for another podcast, and it is Joe Baritelli. He is the EVP and Chief Creative Officer for a terrific agency out of Los Angeles called RPA. And now that I'm the editor of a publication called The Continuum, which is about brand and demand, I wanted to talk to Joe because he's kind of an expert in creating both awareness and delivering performance for a lot of his clients like Farmers, Honda, and in particular with all of us kind of focused on turning over a new leaf with the start of the new year and health on everyone's mind, I wanted to talk to him about a couple of beautiful pro bono campaigns they've done, particularly the one for UNICEF, creating awareness to get your children vaccinated. So here's Joe. Joe Baritelli, it's nice to see you again, even virtually. So hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I kind of sprung this on you. And this is so perfect because you being at RPA, it's really all about people, relationships, results. So I got to start with the people in the room. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
We're all plowing through the situation, but I'm doing fine. Weather's nice out here. Getting some exercise, that kind of thing. Able to do that. So we're fortunate.
Yeah. You're Los Angeles based. I've been in the beautiful RPA offices, which I guess you haven't seen lately personally.
No, it's been quite a while since we've all been in there together, that's for sure. But we've been able to work pretty smoothly remotely as an agency as a whole. We haven't missed a beat as far as still putting out communications that are helping our clients achieve some business results.
Beautiful communications, too. We're going to talk about some of them and the UNICEF campaign in particular, as we mentioned. And of course, you've been the agency of record for Honda for most of your entire tenure there. And one other little brand, which I think launched my habit of singing to some of my podcast guests. So I think this started with you back in 2017 when I wanted to illustrate the power of RPA's creative. I sang that jingle, Everybody Knows, that you guys created. We are farmers. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And I've embarrassed myself yet again.
No, that's great. That's one of the things that I think is a goal is to try to seep into public culture if you can, create something that people remember, like, and remember, hopefully. So, well, we appreciate your singing.
I'm glad one person does. And, kind of things that people like that stay with us. I think that's really emblematic of what you do. I mean, those other two pillars, the relationships, being people-based. Tell me how that is imbued in the culture of RPA.
There's three aspects to it. One is, first of all, we try to keep treat everybody fairly and try to be supportive. We talk about there's different kind of leadership styles, and servant leadership is one of the tenets, and it's really about putting the people that are doing the work first. But where it really helps us as an agency for our clients is really thinking about the end result and the people that are on the end of the communication and who we're trying to either attract or influence or move to action. If you start with that end result of, hey, we're just trying to reach somebody in their day-to-day lives, that really helps. It really is about respect. And I think treating the customers with respect, that they're, intelligent and they can make their own decisions and they can, figure out a storyline and understand what our clients are trying to say. I think there's a big positive aspect to that kind of marketing.
So I think that respect and information and not talking down to the audience is all represented in what sparked this initial call. The campaign that you did for UNICEF around vaccines work, you know, we are in a new year, we're all trying to turn over new leaves. Some of us are getting healthier. So I really wanted you to share more about two areas that you guys have supported, this Vaccines Work campaign, and then the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation work that you've done, which I think is pro bono. Mm-hmm. So how do you come at that to have things resonate when they're difficult topics to talk about?
Yeah, difficult topics to talk about. But again, I think if you look at it through the lens of who we're trying to reach and what their feelings and issues are, if there is, all this stuff is supported by data, of course, right? Like we get it either from our clients or we go off and do the research. But if we're finding that people aren't thinking about vaccines because maybe it's not top of mind, you know, none of us have experienced polio, right? But, you know, our parents did or their parents did. And we need to reassure people in this particular case for UNICEF that, hey, you might not know it, but it works. You know, the science is there. It's been going on for 100 years. And we just needed to remind people that is the case. And the psychological part of it was, hey, we would do anything to keep our kids out of trouble. They're mischief makers. They're curious. They're trying to figure their way out through the world. But we would make sure we protect them from a hot stove or from falling or, you know, whatever those situations are. Yet, when it comes to something that may be most important, which is inoculating somebody and the whole population to make sure that these terrible diseases don't wreak havoc, is just to remind people that things work. And, you know, making that a simple connection there is really what we tried to do. But we tried to do it in different ways. There was actually a film that we created, and then we also created what were, you know, gifts and posters. And then, you know, there was a whole strategy to put that out there for UNICEF across the world in different languages, and it worked. But, you know, it kind of always goes back to what's the basic kind of emotional response that you would want to get from somebody.
That makes sense. I mean, you did pull at people's emotions and point out the dangers. I mean, there's scenes in the animated short of like kids stacking up books to get to the cookie jar and like right. Perilously balancing on stuff. And you're like, no, yeah. It was so smart. Well, they're sort of like a combination of horror show meets fairy tale meets cautionary tale. And I love that line that there are some dangers you can see and some you can't, which of course is the invisible, you know, bugs and why they need to get vaccinated.
It's kind of base in all of us is protecting our children, and inoculating kids is one of the best way to protect them from things that are more dangerous than even accidents, you know.
Yeah. And the animated film, oh my gosh, I loved it. And the illustrations, of course, posters, stickers, and you did them in a bunch of languages.
Yes.
You did Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah. So that's pretty comprehensive. Talk about, you know, needing people around you to reach people. Oof.
Yeah. You know, it takes a village to put these things together. This one in particular was interesting and fun to a certain degree because we tried to dig into the cultural stories that would resonate with people around the world.
Beautifully. So this campaign really was, you know, coincidental to the fact that vaccines are so on everybody's mind these days, but this was really about immunizing children. How did you go about getting this assignment? What were the directives from UNICEF in this case?
Well, they're specific about the events or what the problem is that they're trying to solve for. So in this case, I think there's been this is me kind of philosophizing a little bit, but I really think because vaccines over the last 100 years have been so successful that people forget how, you know, vulnerable we are to these diseases. And it's been an amazing thing for humankind that we've created these vaccines. So, you know, people need to be reminded because it is invisible, because it's not there. We're not dealing with polio epidemics, at least leading up until this latest pandemic. It wasn't top of mind. And so I think there's a lot of naysayers and misinformation out there that, you know, a campaign like this can help combat. And I think that was really the idea behind it. And that's what UNICEF was asking us to help them with.
Did you get pushback, uptake? What were the, you know, if we bring in the performance aspect of things, what were the results?
I think they were very positive. I know that anecdotally, it was a success. I think they've got a lot of goodwill and a lot of positive response from it. UNICEF sets kind of calendar events for certain international days, and one of them was around vaccinations. And so this was a campaign that was a week or 10 days, you know, but everything from the landing page to the information on their site, all the different platforms, wherever we were with that, it was a worldwide concentrated effort. But I think in a campaign like this, you're really kind of looking at it for the long term and trying to change people's behavior. And so if we can get a few people to really think about it, and then they start talking about it and like saying, yes, I needed to do this and I did that, and tell their friends about it, they tell two friends and they tell two friends. We can make a dent.
So really, that was more of the awareness push. Can you give us an example of a campaign where you've really had to speak to both?
Farmers is an interesting example. I think apartments.com is another one. In that, well, we had to introduce what is a product that can benefit a lot of people. The results are getting people to actually go there. And one of the things that we discovered with that was, hey, a lot of people are looking for apartments, but when they go to their search engine, if we can get them to type in apartments.com rather than, you know, a listing for apartments or classified ads, whatever you're going to type in, then we could achieve great results. So that was one of our goals, was to make it so you would actually be proactive in typing that in. What I was going to say about farmers is that things change within these business landscapes, right? So when we first got that account 10 years ago, it was really about putting them on the consideration list. So we had to break through between, you know, Geico and Progressive, and what State Farm is another big competitor in that space. And there's also some name confusion with State Farm and Farmers. We needed to make sure we created something that would get noticed. But now, once you get within that top, you know, consideration list, now you need reasons to call or reasons to quote or whatever that metric is. In Farmer's case, it's reasons to quote. So what are those things? Well, it's always been about, because it's an agent-based business, that we needed to talk about the value. It isn't just the lower price or, you know, click and save. It's really about, hey, you have some things to protect. You want to make sure you're covered. So that campaign is morphed from what it was basically an awareness, and we have good agents, to, hey, if you're a little smarter about what you need, then you're going to be more protected and we can help you with that. And then that kind of changed to the experience angle is, hey, we know crazy things happen out in the world, and we have the experience to cover whatever you need covered. So those kinds of things we're constantly monitoring, listening, doing research to find out where things are going within the business and cultural landscape to make sure we're hitting the right notes for whatever the business problem is we're trying to solve for.
With the UNICEF campaign, the premise is that kids are daredevils. They're constantly putting themselves in danger because their job is to sort of test and learn, mm-hmm. which is just like advertising.
Right.
You know? So in advertising, when you're testing and learning, how do you iterate based on the incoming data?
Well, in a situation like UNICEF, it's a little different than our other clients in that we kind of have one input dump from them. They kind of give us what they know from their years of experience. And it's also different in that different parts of the world are dealing with different issues, right? So we need to distill all that down and try to come up with something universal that will play, like I say, at an emotional level is what I talk about. But for other businesses, we help them with our research up front, try to take everything into consideration, the marketplace, the business problem, the culture, what's going on, and what's going on with kind of a human behavior standpoint. Behavioral science. We have a behavioral science division that really looks into not only how people are acting, but why they're acting that way or why they're thinking this way. And if you can kind of unlock that can inform a creative idea that will resonate. That's the idea. So we do a lot of that work up front, create something, test that in its early stages. And then say, okay, we believe that this is going to work for these reasons based on the data. Then you put it out in the world and now you've got market tests. So we can kind of push and pull for results based on certain things as we're in market. When I say in market, you know, our campaign is playing. We've got different pieces of communication in different channels. But we try to look at it holistically because we're measuring a brand. But how somebody reacts to a Facebook placement is different than how they might react to a television commercial. So we try to look at all those things at their different stages, but then also look at it holistically of how it's affecting the brand with, you know, what we call brand trackers.
So I want to talk about how marketing cars is different from healthcare.
So a little bit of the background of why we got involved with UNICEF and why we got involved with the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation is we're a little independent shop. We're not part of a big network. We really needed to get some recognition for some things outside of Honda and Farmers, right? So we made a conscious effort to reach out to pro bonos, and think about things that we could do as an agency to get our name out there in some other fields beyond, you know, we're kind of known as Honda's agency. So we made a conscious effort to think about accounts like this. We had a relationship with the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation because Honda is a contributor to that. So we always try to do something to help raise awareness for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. With Honda sponsorship, they were to the point where we don't necessarily need to do anything, but we said, hey, this is a relationship that we could build on because now we know those people there. What could we do to help them and in turn help ourselves with something that might get recognized? And the same thing with talking to UNICEF. So we said, let's go through the process to be vetted. So when these projects do come up and we do have the bandwidth to take them on, we can contribute and then hopefully we can do something good for them. And ultimately, it comes back as good PR for us. So
that makes so much sense that you did good and you ended up doing well as a result of supporting Honda's kind of pro-social initiative. That's awesome. And so has that sparked other healthcare clients as well?
Yeah, we got a lot of recognition. We've just recently got a big hospital network here in Los Angeles. We've been doing work for Cedars-Sinai, and I'm learning a lot about how hospitals work and their different divisions and what they need to accomplish. So that's been great. There's also the opportunity to maybe do some work for the state of California and their vaccination efforts too. So it's been great for the agency to get the recognition, but what I really like about it is the fact that we're doing something good for society.
Yeah.
If you want to go that big.
Well, I do want to go that big because I do see, again, and this comes right back to the top, that you really infuse emotional aspects into all of your campaigns. I think that you've learned and shown that you can, you know, to use the word iterate again, you've iterated for so many different channels. Even something that you did for Honda mid-COVID, you did the virtual guided tour of national landmarks. So that was like a nice kind of gift of content on behalf of Honda to all of us who can't, you know, see those landmarks anymore.
We talk a lot about relationships and trying to build relationships with our clients, customers. And I think being able to serve up those kinds of I don't know whether you want to call them perks or, you know, these days, customer experience is a big thing. But ultimately, I think it's about trying to gain people's trust and trying to build that relationship with somebody. They might not be in the market for an automobile, or they might not be looking for a hospital right now, but when they do need a new car, or they need to go to a hospital, you want them to think of the ones that are most like them.
So with all of your team of data scientists and market researchers who are always, you know, not only informing some of the direction of your creative, but, you know, you give good content as an agency about things that we should all be doing. Any recommendations for marketers in managing brand awareness and even in the response to these weird times of how to navigate the consumer landscape?
Well, things are shifting, right? We're dealing with a lot of stuff that we haven't had to deal with before. I guess I'm trying to say, trying to recognize and acknowledge where people are at, where they might be individually and where they might be as, you know, as a collective, in that we're all in a weird place right now. And so we need to be conscious of those states. It's like, well, put yourself in their shoes. And if you can do that, then you're going to come up with something that resonates and is memorable, and hopefully somebody can recall when they need to draw from it.
So how do you balance needing to have proof of performance? How do you approach that, and how do you infuse that into your campaigns?
It's almost easier now, in that, when I say now, compared to 25 years ago, in that we have so many different vehicles to reach people with. You know, we've got mass market network television. We've got more targeted television. We have, you know, all the way down to social media. We've got different ways to reach people with, you know, digital display or, you know, Instagram or Facebook. And so what we try to do is, A, be appropriate for those different placements, in that how we message, well, it might be the same underlying theme. It isn't going to be the same. How you create a 30-second television commercial is a lot different than how you would communicate in a tweet. Now, the thing that's amazing right now is the ability to have storytelling in all these different platforms. But we can also measure how those different things perform. And I think what we're really good at as an agency is pulling all those things together and giving you the overall picture of how things are moving. So in a case like Farmers, you're talking about insurance being different than healthcare. In that case, what we're trying to do is, number one is awareness. Two is like, hey, okay, we're on the consideration list. And then three is, okay, what is the thing that's going to make people call? In some cases, that might be a price offer. It might be a product, or, you know, something that's fresh or different in that industry. And we're able to talk about those things at different levels. We know that if you have the awareness on the upper level, what I like to say, and then you also have the reasons to act on the lower level of the communication funnel, then it works. Yeah. Where that differs around like healthcare is we don't necessarily have the need or want to go, okay, come in right now. You know, it's a different psychological path that you go down. We talk a lot about, you know, customer journeys, and a customer journey for insurance is different than the customer journey for trying to get somebody to inoculate their kids. It's like, hey, let's dig into what the situation is. let's figure out what's going to be the emotional connection. Let's come up with an insight to what we think is going to be unique to stand out in the marketplace. And then let's make sure we do our due diligence to make sure it's working. And then making sure that we're staying on top of it and iterating to make sure we keep it relevant.
Awesome. I'm literally going to read something that you said to me back in 2017. You said that what I've discovered is that we're always in a constant state of change, that there isn't an end goal. Everything's always evolving, and you need to have people who are curious about what the future holds. There's always something different in the media world, something different on the creative side, and we try to push things forward for our clients that way too. That was awesome. Joe Baratelli, thank you for being very spontaneous with this podcast.
It's always a pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Well, I hope you got some good inside scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. And I also hope that you'll rate, review, subscribe wherever you download your podcasts. Thanks again for listening.